Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KBXU.
Happy Thursday morning to you. It's 9:09 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. The sun is out. It's been cloudy most of the morning, but the sun just peeked out from behind the clouds on this warm morning. It was 88 degrees a few minutes ago. So Gil Almquist is here with me. Gil knows all too much about working outside in the heat, having been a landscaper for a long, long time.
Over 40 years and enjoyed it.
How did you protect your skin in all those years of working in the sun? Did you use a lot of sunblock or big hats? Or
maybe not as much as my wife would have liked.
Yeah.
I did get a melanoma on, of all places, my arm, because I always wore a long sleeve shirt. So that was weird.
Wait a minute. That was supposed to stop that from happening.
Yeah, I would have thought the same thing. At first, they took it out and said, oh, we got all the margins fine. And then it's interesting. I know exactly where I was standing a month later when I was on my way to a city council meeting, and I got a phone call. And so I answered the phone. They go, we need to look at that again.
Ew.
They pulled your slides up and said, maybe they didn't get it all. So they cut a bigger patch, and ouch. I've been cancer-free. But other than that, I probably should have worn more sunscreen. But there was a kind of a skin color and tone that maybe fought it off a little more than others. But we did do hats in a lot of early mornings and maybe even some late evenings to finish up a job versus the heat of the day.
My wife is a sun worshiper, but she does have kind of the olive. She's half Italian, so she has kind of the olive Italian skin. So I think that helps her to not get. She rarely. She's been sunburned like twice in the 37 years I've known her. 38 years I've known her. So. But certainly something to think about today as we all embark on yet another beautiful sunny day in Utah's Dixie.
It's beautiful today.
Gil is a county commissioner for Washington County and has been for how many years now, Gil?
I'm beginning my middle of sixth year. So I've had one full term and second year of a second term. So I've enjoyed it. Love working with Victor, with the other electeds, and Adam Snow, who's just brilliant, both of them. I sit back and I just say, gee, I wish I knew what they knew. and I guess they say that about me in other areas.
You don't give yourself enough credit. A couple of things. So, well, let's talk about elections first. You're not a part of the election this time. Thank goodness, right?
Yes.
Don't have to worry about that right now.
It's been an interesting election cycle.
Maybe you had some numbers, maybe some ideas on the updates of where, how many votes have been counted. The one race they haven't called yet is the Colby Jenkins and Celeste Malloy. Although Celeste was ahead, they said there was still a percentage of the votes out there. Where are we at in the county?
In the county specifically, because we have some overlapping senatorial districts and things like that. Senator Owens, for example, Darren Owens, doesn't have a challenger. He represents part of our county, the far east side, and then Evan Vickers is not up, but definitely the Ibsen race is critical to our area. His boundary is completely with inside Washington County. We wish the turnout had been better. I'm surprised because a lot of the races were gathering attention and were very important and good candidates all around.
So what was the turnout?
Total received ballots, 35,733.
In the county. So maybe, what is that, about
less than
15%,
half?
15%? 30% maybe?
We probably have a, when you count all ballots, this is just Republican ballots.
Oh, that's true. That's
so
a good point.
About
good
half.
Point. Yeah.
Not yet processed, 612.
Oh, not very many, though.
But what happens, there's quite a few out there that are, when I say 612, that includes some provisional ballots, and then 406 that are waiting to be cured. I don't know if people know that, but cured ballots mean what was the real intent? We want to make sure every ballot is counted exactly as the intent of the voter. And they may make a mistake, like they may circle two for the same race. I don't know how that happens when you only have two running. But there might be other issues with the ballot. Maybe the signature didn't match exactly.
They changed their mind, tried to erase it, and didn't all get erased.
Exactly.
Something.
And the thing that counts is very sensitive to that very thing. Plus, there could be other reasons, like they don't even appear on our ballots, our rolls yet, and how did they get a ballot, et cetera. So there's 406 that are waiting to be cured, but there's actually in process, and that means double-checking signatures, 6,735.
Oh, that's
so there are a lot
number.
Out there yeah. when you consider the total 35,000. The reason being is that we've implemented the state's regulations on counting as well as gone the extra mile and are really looking at ballots in such a critical way that nobody can doubt the that we verify each one and that we make sure it's counted the way the voter intended. So total process to date, 28,386. And I'm sure that the second review and tabulation is going on right now. It's Fort Knox down there. They allow, of course, observers. That's a part of what we do. Anybody that wants to observe can qualify for it. And when I say qualify, we can't have 200 people packed into a room that already has, you know, volunteers and people that are looking at ballots. But we do allow observers, and that's been good.
What do you make of the, so far, the count anyway? I'm just looking at the list. The ones that are statewide races, most of the ones Washington County voted for, in favor of, actually lost. Phil Lyman was, won Washington County, but lost the state. Same with, some of the others. Colby Jenkins, for instance, winning, but it looks like he's going to lose. John Curtis, we voted for Trent Staggs down here in Washington County.
We're a very conservative group, and to the applause from me of that, because we can't afford to go in another direction other than the conservative nature of I'm a Republican, and the Republican platform is what we follow quite strictly here. And somebody from northern Utah saying, well, we do too. We're just of a different nature from that conservative take in that we deal with a lot of federal issues down here, and it's frustrating, it's aggravating, and all across southern Utah, that maybe they don't deal with quite as intensely in the north. And yet, the way we vote is indicative of the fact that we believe we're America's county, that we have principles that are uncompromisable. Now you say, well, gee, that's pretty rigid, and a lot of people down here have voted because of that rigidity. But we've got to remember, too, that we wouldn't have a nation if it wasn't that those early compromises that people made, the Connecticut compromise was certainly one of those where, we were half slave states and half not. And there were bitter battles over the language. And Thomas Jefferson's first draft of the Declaration forbid slavery. And yet they said, well, then count us out.
Wow.
We don't know where we'll go. We hate Britain.
Yeah.
But we won't be joining you. And so there are all kinds of compromises. And somebody said, well, that's weak. But you know what I found out? There are certain groups here that stir the pot quite a bit. And that may not be as healthy for our general populace as we'd hope. I hope that somebody understands. If I take a class and there's a test at the end of the class, and the teacher tells me, you have to get 100% on this test or you fail.
Wow.
The class.
Pressure.
There are groups around here that, boy, if you're a governor or a senator or congressman or something, they have a strict test. And if you miss one question, you misstate one position, in their mind, you are done. You don't get my vote. And That's a tough position when you consider the history of our country.
I look at it, and I'm not going to name any specific names, but I look at it as there's a need for a compromise. I said, well, like you said, well, that's weak. Well, that's progress. And, better to move the ball incrementally down the field 3 yards at a time than to lose 10 yards or throw an interception or, if we're going to use the football analysis or the football analogy. Anybody that's been married for any amount of time knows that there has to be compromise, or you wouldn't be married anymore.
Yeah, and those people that say, well, it's got to be my way or the highway, sometimes they find that road to be pretty lonely.
That's right.
I have a very good friend. He's so smart, and he's so witty, and he's such a great NICU doc, Dr. Carroll, Patrick Carroll. He said to me the other day, he said, you know, I heard somebody say, I wish that governor, somebody said this to him, I wish that governor would get a backbone. And this is a doctor, and he said something I'd never thought of before. He said, you know, the backbone allows us to bend. It is the only bone that's flexible. We can look around a corner. We can twist. It extends clear to the head, which means we have to be able to look left and right. And as I've thought about that, I'm saying politicians, elected people, church leaders, community leaders, etc., when they say, get a backbone, well, I have a backbone. That means I'm willing to listen to all sides. I'm willing to not compromise my principles, but at least listen and maybe tweak them a little bit. And quite frankly, I'm staunch conservative, but I've had some thoughts in my head that don't make me a member of the other party, but which at least understand people better.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the issues I get really, really emotional about is the issue of abortion. And yet, poll after poll and study after study has shown that even the most staunch, not the most, but most of the staunch people who are anti-abortion, you can make, they go, well, there probably are a few exceptions. It's that mm-hmm. kind of thing. You know, I hate abortion. I hate the idea of what abortion is. And yet at the same time, if a woman was raped, if the mother's life is on the line, there are some occasions where I'm like, yeah, I guess that might be okay. I don't know, you know, but like you said, compromise and flexibility has got to be a part of things.
Right.
You can go hard line all you want, but nothing ever gets accomplished if you're only hard line always. So,
you know, and I can say on the, you asked about the Malloy race mm-hmm. and that with Jenkins. Boy, I know both of them. Both of them have my respect. On Celeste's behalf, as a freshman congresswoman mm-hmm. filling in the rest of a term that Congressman Stewart, for good reason, bowed out, let's just say.
Yeah.
And then to have to run for that interim, and then again. Anyway, Celeste has done for Southern Utah in her short term more financially, politically, than any other congressperson in their first year ever that I know of. And I don't know how she did it except for the fact that she already knew the ropes. She knew who to talk to, how it worked. And quite frankly, we won't be disappointed with her efforts in her district, but especially for the rural part, which I consider us very rural, especially our county, despite our population, is still rural.
Yeah.
She'll do more for us than anybody else.
Back to the elections now and those numbers that you mentioned, there are quite a few ballots still that need to be cured, as you call them,
yeah.
and counted, and you know, some of them coming in, you know, absentee or whatever. Do we have a timeline? Do we know, when can we officially say, okay, this is the winner, this is the loser?
Right. Well, the official timeline deals with the canvass, which mm-hmm. they have to do by law within a certain amount of time, a couple of weeks. I bet you by Monday we have processed everything. And again, we're processing some several times. It's based a lot on your signature.
Yeah.
So if somebody says, hey, I can forge my kid's signature, he's off at baseball camp and I know he wanted to vote or whatever, I'm assuming he's 18.
Yeah.
You might say baseball camp. Wait, Gil, that's 13 to
12. Yeah.
12. Yeah. But what I mean is they're off something, doing something somewhere.
Maybe on a mission. Yeah.
Could be on a mission. And yet we know through several sources, which are well protected, if that's really your signature. And somebody might say, well, wait, gee, when I signed up to to vote in your county, my signature has changed a ton.
Yeah.
But believe me, those are some that need to be cured, right? If you used to spell out John Smith and now it's a J and a straight line,
yeah,
that may not be what we have. And we're curing that. Make sure John's vote is counted.
Well, I will say this. This happened to me. It's probably been 4 years or so. I actually got a call from the county and auditor, I think it was, or someone that worked for them, and said, we need to confirm that you actually, this was your ballot, because the two signatures aren't very good matches.
Right.
And I don't know what happened. I don't know if, you know, the signature they had on the file and the one on the thing, you know, if I was, you know, in a hurry one time, or had a pen that didn't feel right in my hand, I don't know why they didn't match, but
sure.
I was actually happy to get the call, because it kind of confirmed that they're actually doing their due diligence to make sure that the vote is counted correctly.
Yeah.
I liked that call, even though maybe I'd take a few minutes out of my time to make sure everything was right, but, you know, in the end, I was like, okay, this is a good thing.
We definitely want the right person, the right ballot counted the way they intended. That's the goal. And kudos to everybody down there, Ryan Sullivan, Melanie, oh, Kathy, Jenna. There's just a ton of people working very diligently down there to make sure that goal happens.
Yeah.
And there wasn't, you know, we have cameras where they can drop ballots. In-person voting was about 1,000, not as much as some might have said, hey, everybody vote in person. Yeah. A lot of people like getting a ballot at home and thinking about it and seeing names sometimes for the first time.
Googling things, doing some research. It's nice.
Yep, there's benefits. And if you want to vote in person, we allow for that.
It's funny, because I had the day before the actual election day, I had Jason Chaffetz on. I also had, can't remember, I had someone else on, and they were basically like, yes, I think voting in person is the way to go. But then they both acknowledged, but Republicans can't go and say, well, that's the only way we'll do it, because right now those aren't the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to rally around the rules and take advantage of, they call it the ground game, you know, take advantage of the fact that there are going to be a lot of absentee. There is mail-in voting now, and you may not like it, but them's the rules, folks, you know, and figure out how to play by the rules and still win.
And I will support the rules, whatever they are, and if that changes, we'll support that. We're mostly focused on this issue, protect the ballot.
Yeah. Jason Chaffetz even said, he says, that the thing that makes me nervous about that is that, you know, if you mail your ballot in, how many hands of or machines or whatever have touched that ballot before it gets to where it needs to be? And, you know, he's mm-hmm. called it the chain of custody. And, you know, I understand that, but that's not the way it operates right now. Right now, you've got to win with the parameters you're given.
And there's safeguards through the barcode on each ballot. And if they fall out of line and, you know, I'm talking maybe even forgery. I don't know how somebody would do that, because you got to have the right paper, and it's very protective. But believe me, we think about that every day. Another phone call you might get from the county, I'll just be very brief, is from our recorder's office. That is, if you have signed up for what's called Property Watch. I've mentioned it before.
Okay. I don't know what that is.
If you go to the county's site, washco.utah.gov, you will see that under the recorder's office is a sort of an I shape, or it says Property Watch.
Okay.
If you sign up for that, you can do it online. You need to have a couple of things. You have to have your tax notice for your property, and you can put all the information in very simply online. And what that does is it puts your property under scrutiny from the county if somebody tries to change the title or the name on it something. Yeah. And a lot of people are paying money to do some of the national programs, not to fault them. Keep doing it if that makes you comfortable. But we have an added level of protection called Property Watch, and you can do it online. You can do it in person. Bring your tax notice with you so they get the proper ID for that. But once you're on the list and somebody tries to change that, we call you and say, were you trying to sell?
Is this legit?
And we just offer that as a free service to all of our citizens that have properties here.
I think it's a great service. And you mentioned, yes, there are some national companies that say, hey, you know, your homes are being stolen all the time, which I think they're probably exaggerating a little bit. I'm sure it happens, but not all the time. But, you know, there are companies, private companies that are trying to make make money by having you pay them to keep an eye on stuff, then, and more power to them. But I like it that this is a public service that does not cost anything.
So true.
Good to have. County Commissioner Gil Almquist, of course, he's in there right now. We have three commissioners. Victor Iverson is one. Adam Snow is another. You know, it's funny, when Adam comes on, he always talks about, you know, this is a temporary gig for me. I want to come in here and do what I can in the areas that I'm good at and get out. What do you guys think of, you and Victor think of, when you hear Adam say that all the time?
We jokingly call him our Padawan. he calls me Grandpa and Victor Dad. But Adam has a lot of years ahead of him for doing other things, maybe privately or politically. Very talented, extremely smart, knows the ropes, having worked for Congressman Stewart for 6+ years. We don't know his plans, but believe me, he's doing everything right now in the position without being distracted by whatever the future has. He's very diligent about his job, but temporary gig, I don't know. We'll see.
I think it's funny he calls Victor Dad, because Victor might be old enough to be his dad. I don't know if he is or not, but Victor looks like he's 30, because what was the old TV guy that used to never age? Dick Clark.
Dick Clark.
You know, Dick Clark was 70 years old. He looked like he was 30. And that's kind of how Iverson is, I think. He looks really young. If he can keep the gray from coming in, nobody will ever believe that he's as old as he is.
Yeah, he's awesome.
So, all right, we got a weather break and commercial break coming up here on the Andy Griffin Show, and then more with County Commissioner Gil Almquist right after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Well, good morning to you. It's 9:34. I'm Andy. Gil Almquist is here, County Commissioner for Washington County.
Thank you.
The county that has, we think, over 200,000 citizens now.
And the Kim C. Gardner study is just back out, saying how many people on any given day are here. We used to say 25, 30,000. It went up to 32,000. Now they're saying that on any given day, 200,000 people and 75,000 people are here any given day that are visiting, hanging out, at least spending 24 hours here. Isn't that amazing? I mean,
it's incredible.
It is incredible. It's good for our economy. Some people say, yeah, but our streets are packed. Well, they are. You know, luckily we have a grid system. You can take 200 south if 100 south isn't open.
Yeah.
But I can say the biggest disaster that we would ever have is if the alternative route of taking Boulevard one way and First South another is a joke.
Yeah.
That would ruin our city. And it really doesn't help. What do? Just dump more people on River Road and dump more people on Bluff in a different pattern. It doesn't alleviate the pressure that the Northern Corridor needs to. And by the way, if you think we're not conservative down here, well, you follow the lead of Eric Clark and our other attorneys. We sued the federal government over their backhanded lies dealing with the Northern Corridor. And the way they portrayed the impact of that on the tortoise was simply federal propaganda. Hmm. Now, I like our local BLM people, but when it jumps up to the federal level, I got to tell you that you want to talk about corruption, it's there.
Wow.
When I say corruption, I'm not talking about financial. I'm talking about deception. Let me take corruption back. Let's just say deception and falsehoods. And we're just tired of it. So for the first time over such an issue, we sue the federal government.
What is behind this corruption, this deception, I guess is the word we're using?
Well,
why did they change their mind? And I know everybody's, well, it's a different administration. It's Biden and this and that. Okay, but really, what's the bottom line? What's in it for them? Because there's always something in it for them, right?
Well, there's national protected areas all across the country. Mm-hmm. And they think that if we get a road through ours, that everyone's going to want a road And the case. They don't have population centers around the Outer Banks protected pelican zone. You know, it's just not comparable. But they also don't have this language in our lands bill. In 2009, it said there shall, not maybe, not if, but there shall be a road through the NCA, our protected tortoise habitat. And you just have to figure the route that works best. Well, in 2009, we didn't have that giant population. We'd just gone through a housing, you know, crisis of 08.
Yeah.
And so the idea was, hey, you know, well, they'll pick a good route. Well, we have. But their alternatives are to ruin the Dixie Rock because they want to put some, you know, widen Skyline Drive and cantilever it out over the edge. And the funds that it would take to do that,
I can't even imagine how expensive that would be. Yeah.
And they've already said, well, you know, you can't seal off one portion of land, which is a very small portion of the entire habitat, by putting a road there. Well, we've proven, despite their saying their deception was that a tortoise will never go through a culvert. Well, we put cameras at the existing culverts and said, wow, they actually do go through. In fact, they like it in there. It's cooler in the summer. Plus, it's like a big cave. So we have them even nesting in there, if nesting is the right word. But those kind of things. And then, of course, they lie about Zone 6, which we offered up, which has a lot of tortoise out there west of Bloomington, as a trade-off for the acreage we need. That's not good enough. That's just where a lot of that deception comes from. So our best alternative is the one that the county has chosen, and it's still on the list. And one of the alternatives is do nothing. But yet we want to protect our air and have our traffic flow. And the reality is we've tripled our population and, you know, over the decades, and everybody has a car or two. Luckily, they only drive one at a time.
Yeah. So somebody asked me, Gil, and I'll ask you this question. How did we get that road built that is there? They call it Turtle Road now. It's Snow Canyon Parkway is what it leads into. It's, you know, Red Hills Parkway. Whatever name you want to put on it. How did we get it through in the first place? That was what they asked.
Right. Well, back in the day, it skirted the boundary of the habitat. And if it cut off a little corner here or there, they did a determination of whether there was a tortoise there. And what they don't understand, a lot of people, is that we are allowed to take certain tortoise, a certain number. I think originally it was 1,500 or something. We still haven't used all of that take. Now, that doesn't mean kill. That means relocate.
Move, yeah.
You know, make sure they're healthy, relocate them, et cetera, if they're in the path. And we're still doing that, although we don't need to do much of it because they've found where they want to go and the fences help, et cetera. And so even in this case, if we build a northern corridor along the route that we have selected as our preference, if we find a tortoise, we're going to move it. We're not going to plow it. And yet they tout the fact that the whole population will be in danger if the road goes through. And I had one lady say to me, oh, you're just going to put McDonald's and Taco Bell and houses and apartments all along that. You don't understand. We're asking for a narrow strip.
Yeah, a road.
If we want to go beyond that with anything, that is a whole new process. And guess what? I wouldn't be in favor of that either. Mm. We just want a road. And then other people say, well, what good was that lands bill? Well, what it did was it compromised, there's a good word, with the federal government on what would be tortoise habitat and then what other areas of the county you could develop. So if you live in a place that was, could have been inhabited by a tortoise, you would have had your own permit, you'd had to go through the poll process. What this did was it solved it for everyone.
If you want to call and talk to Gil about this, the Northern Corridor, or the elections, or whatever else might be on your mind, give us a call at 673-5890. You can always text me. I've got my phone right in front of me here at 435 area code, 467-5842, 467-5842. Okay, we got the lawsuit. We're suing the federal government. They are pretty seemingly entrenched in what they've decided at this point, at least with the current administration. Is it going to take an administration change for this to go through?
Yes. Now, yes. I say that because we get nowhere under the current bureaucracy under the Biden administration. Does President Biden know anything about this?
No.
The people underneath him that he appointed or that are taking directions from yet another quasi, bureaucrat are what's holding it up. And the delays and the delays. So under the Trump administration, they had a ruling towards the end of a 165-day process to get us an answer. And so we had a record of decision to go ahead and build the corridor at the end of that. Once the day that Biden was put in and there was a change in the Department of Interior's goals, and a lot of people were still there from pre-Trump days, said, good. And they killed that record of decision. They said, nope, now we're changing our mind. What we're suing over is, let's make a decision. Don't change your mind. Let us build this road, which is both for vehicular traffic as well as bikes and walking. It's going to be a recreation mecca. But having said that, yes, we need a change in administration.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Richard on line one wants to talk about tortoises. Richard, what's up?
Couple of things. First off, you caught my ear when you said you had 600 and something boats that were, what'd you call that? You had to look at them twice or whatever.
They're not cured. There's actually 406 that are not cured. 602 would include some provisionals and some absentees that met deadlines but haven't been opened or counted.
Okay. When you brought that up, I got a picture of back in Gore and you know, the hanging chads.
Dangling chads, yes.
I just smiled my face. But anyway, on the tortoise habitat, now they really screwed that road design. I liked it when it was going to hit Winchester Hill. That made a lot more sense than trying to cut it into what they got now. So have you guys ever thought about hitting the government up for a solar array up there? Because when you put solar panels up, you can get rid of the turtles. You can move them wherever the heck you want or destroy them.
Some of the landscapes around southern Nevada where they've put up solar panels actually improved the look. But we have a lot to consider up in our areas where they want to put these at the certain sun angle, et cetera. They want to put it right in our primary mule deer breeding grounds. They want to put them at all kinds of places that would be environmentally, let's say, to our hunters, certainly, or those that simply like to see deer, that we've kind of put a squabash on. They're looking now at Iron County more so. We've been asked.
I don't know for that, if it's going to mess with the deer herd. But, yeah, I don't have a problem with building, give the turtles some shade. I think that's a great idea.
Okay, good for you.
Hey, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Richard. It's kind of funny. Yeah, you can't build in a habitat unless you put in some big giant fans that'll kill the birds, or you put in some big giant solar panels that'll kill everything. And
that's interesting. Yes, yeah. Certain trade-offs that they accept you, or they, by their terms, right?
Logic takes on a whole new meaning when dealing with that.
I mentioned trails. Can we just say something?
Let me get a break in, and when we come back, we'll talk about trails extensively.
Pay the bills.
Also water conservation a little bit, too.
Please.
When we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 9:49 on KDXU. Gil is dancing, sort of, as much as you can dance.
Just love this song.
Yeah. I thought about you yesterday, Gil, when the neighbor had hired landscapers to come and take care of their yard and everything. I don't know, the lawn care specialist anyway. I don't know if they're landscapers, but... And it was, I got home yesterday at like 2:30 or 3 in the afternoon, and it was 105, and I was thinking... Mm-hmm. Did Gil really do this for all those years?
I did.
Brutal.
Sometimes I'd send the guys home from like noon to 3 or something, just take a break or, you know, whatever. And but that was my hours to get a few things set out and done. So, yeah, my wife is often saying, you worked through all that? Yep.
What are you, crazy?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. LJ is hanging on, wants to talk about tortoises with us. LJ, what's up?
Yeah, hi. So a few years ago, I had a hobby to go out and look for tortoises.
Okay.
So I know where they all are.
Okay, good.
And there are turtles. There are turtles up there at Pioneer Hills, you know, where they're talking about the road.
Yes.
But it is not the biggest population.
Correct.
You know, I've probably hiked through there 25 times, and I maybe saw 8-10 turtles in all those times through that area.
Right.
There are other areas where there are a lot more turtles. Anyway, I guess my point is I think the tortoises would use the tunnels to get under that road. You know, which tortoises are there. There are some, for sure. But I don't think it would bother the tortoises. That's my humble opinion as a somewhat expert.
All right, well, LJ, thank you for your opinion.
I appreciate that addition. Yeah. Thank you.
And they do use the tunnels.
They do.
The ones that are there now, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, we want to talk for just a minute about trails. Let's go there first.
Well, I have grandkids here, and their reward for hiking up to the top of Webb Hill, and when I say hiking, it's walking,
yeah,
is to get a orange bang at Mr. D's on the corner of Fort Pearson River. But
that's the motivation.
That's their motivation. Yeah. In fact, they actually know that, so they say, come on, let's go hike it. So we walked up there today. I know people take their dogs, and this is just a dirt road that we were walking up, right, the one to access the top, but I want to tell people, please take your animals out there, your dogs, but pick up after them. But what I'm seeing along our other trails as well, we're in the whole county, we're approaching 100 miles of trails.
Wow.
But people, please take your dogs out there, but do pick up, because what they're doing is they're taking the little green bags or some, you know, not very many, but then they put the poo in the bag and then they leave the bag.
Leave the bag, yeah.
And our trails need to stay beautiful. We don't have crews that go out. We have lots of volunteers. I love the couple that walk by our house, and they've always got a bag with them picking up trash. But let's be mindful of the beauty of our trails.
I think there's probably a couple that put the bag down and say, I'll get it on the way back. But they almost invariably forget.
And they're pretty weathered. So unless they're coming back a week later, you're right.
Yeah, leave them behind. So
we're doing well on water. The reservoirs are full. They're coming down. We start to use it this time of year.
Yeah.
Especially our conservation efforts have paid off. Even the Salt Lake Trib, which has usually nothing nice to say about Southern Utah.
They have nothing nice to say about anybody, it doesn't seem like.
But they even said
LGBTQ, but anyway.
They even said the Washington County Water Conservancy District under Zach Ranstrom and his team are actually setting the mark, showing the pace, doing the work to save water. And it's obviously because of the Great Salt Lake, it become an issue up there, and it's coming up. But the point is that those who've been out there conserving, thank you. Those who've taken advantage of their conversion plan from taking out grass and putting in shrubs and trees, thank you. But there's one slight nuance I wanted to mention that's happening, and that is people just saying, I'll just shut my water off and to the outside. That's kind of degrading the neighborhood, and then they just let the trees die because the trees are used to the grass water. And if you take your grass out and you want a nice shade tree because it's hot out there, you still have to water that tree with a drip line or something, which still saves water. But the sad part about it is people saying, well, I'll just let my whole yard go. And that the neighbors aren't usually happy of that, even if they have xeriscaping. So please be mindful of that.
You know, and Zach was on yesterday, by the way. He has said many times, he says, look, we're not telling you to take all vegetation out.
Right.
You can if you want to. I mean, it's your prerogative. It's your property.
Sure.
But he said, we would prefer you put desert-friendly landscape instead of, you know, and plants and things instead of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And while those are pretty hardy in this climate, like you said, Gil, they do need water occasionally.
Yeah, so, for sure. And there's trees that are more sensitive. We don't want you planting willows and cottonwoods and things that soak up the water, but there are trees out there that are desert-type trees that are still green and still provide shade.
I've been wanting to ask, you're a landscaper guy, so you know you're an expert. I consider you an expert in this area.
Thank you.
Palm trees.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of palm trees in St. George, but there are some. You see palm trees all over California.
Right.
My contention is, and I don't know this, I'm just conjecturizing or whatever, but that palm trees do take a lot of water, or at least need a climate, a humid climate, and we have a very dry climate. Is that why we don't see very many palm trees here, and we do in California?
Certain palm trees that survive here that do well, they actually take up what water you give them and store it. Hmm. Now, for years, you could not water a palm tree in your yard. It'll slow down its growth first while it's using its storage in the fibers of the trunk.
Hmm.
And it may even be such that you never have to water it again because those roots have gone down and they found just enough moisture to keep the palm alive. I don't think the reason we have very many here is that, one, sometimes a cold snap will take out quite a few.
That's true. It
just depends.
And they don't get that in Southern California.
Yeah, and they require some maintenance, extra level of maintenance, and then they don't provide a lot of shade. Now, they provide a lot of look and ambiance around
they're
a pool
cool looking,
or something.
Yeah.
But there are several varieties that are actually fairly drought tolerant, and they're smart. They store water because they know they're not always going to have it. So it's not a bad thing to put in a landscape if you do it right.
So as a landscape guy, or former landscape guy anyway, mm-hmm. would you recommend someone getting palm trees?
They do add, there are certain types. There's clump palms that add that sort of bush-like look,
yeah.
and they stay short. And
but what about the tall ones that you always see in the movies?
The very tallest ones, if somebody wants it, yes, I would advise it. I wouldn't try to talk them out of it. But generally, if you start with a 6 or 8 foot palm tree, that's enough. You don't have to start with a 10, 20 foot palm tree unless you want the look, but they'll grow.
Will they make coconuts and stuff? Or is
not
that,
here. No, not that variety.
No.
Okay. Nope.
All right. Just wondering about that. Again, Gil, because we've got about 2 minutes left. Gil, is there anything else on your little agenda that you wanted to talk about today before we close things up?
You know, I want people to know that we're entering budget season here in couple of months. We, over the last years, have said there will be no new taxes, to quote Bush, and we're sticking to that. Now, we've got a lot of pressure. Boy, people that work for us deserve to be paid a living wage.
Yeah.
And they deserve to be paid what others around them, their peers in similar positions, are being paid. Our county employees are amazing. I love visiting with them. They do their jobs. They ought to be rewarded, but not to any excess that people say, oh, government's bloated. No, we are trim, and we're going to stay that way. So count on us to look at every penny and where we can save and yet keep our services up.
Got a text. Would the Chevron case at the Supreme Court affect the Northern Corridor by making it harder for the BLM to deny it?
Absolutely.
I'm out of my realm there, so you're going to have to answer that.
Well, if we go to the Supreme Court, we'll do it.
Okay.
To get the roadway through.
I held up a one finger for 1 minute, and he gave me one word.
Well, you know, we don't know where a case will go.
Right.
But the honest truth is that if we're going to follow the rules, don't change the rules midstream.
Yeah, really.
Just because you don't want something. Or don't tell us one day that it's okay to say ABC and say, no, we meant CBA. Mm. They're the same letters, but then that's a delay tactic, right?
Yeah.
I hope we go to the Supreme Court. It'll help clear up a lot of land issues in the West.
All right. You heard it here first. Gil Almquist, County Commissioner Gil.
Thank you.
Thank you for the service that you and Victor and Adam put in on and the rest of the county
Tremendous
staff.
Employees.
On our behalf, I find you guys to be hardworking and forthright and honest, and I appreciate that.
It's our goal. So. Thanks.
This is the Andy Griffin Show. Open lines tomorrow as we head into the weekend. We're getting close to the 4th of July. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.